Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
The route to commercialization from brilliant ideas, that is often like your number one objective when you're a startup.
Yep, for SMEs, the entrepreneurial journey is crucial, and for independent creatives, their content and resources are their most valuable assets and key to profits.
Yeah, so with the focus on business strategies and emphasis on the big idea, their IP protection is put on the back burner, and before you know it, it's overlooked.
I've been having this conversation with a business analyst as well, even telling us as a startup with my other company that we should be looking at the IPs that we have.
Yes.
That we have to do an IP audit.
Actually, I have been observing that other startup that you have, and I'm wondering, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been doing it, so now we do. We have to. Yes.
Good. Well, here in Singapore, the Singapore IP Strategy 2030 that was announced during World IP Day underscores our country's continuous commitment to help businesses bring their innovations to the market by protecting their IA without compromising legal protection. Let's find a little bit more about IP rights. Mark Laudy, managing partner at Pitchmark, is on the line with us. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Very interesting, this one. So the Singapore government unveiled the Singapore IP Strategy 2030. This 10-year plan aims to strengthen Singapore's position as a global hub for intangible assets and IP, and to maintain Singapore's top rank as an IP regime. Tell us a little bit more about what you understand from this 10-year plan.
Well, you know, it's critical that we protect our IP in an environment where clearly, we're all online, we're all on the internet, the digital economy is already a generation old, and all too often people just don't think about their IP nearly enough. And so it's critical that we do have, as a nation, that we have a long-term roadmap. When you're an individual company, though, and whether that's your startup, Tim, or any company that's already been in business for some time, the fact is, though, that you are handing over your IP virtually on a daily basis. I mean, for example, let's say you're a web designer and you've got somebody's rung you up and said, or sent you an email and said, hey, can you redesign, reskin my website? It's looking a bit outdated. We need to get it up to speed. So you as a web designer, you then set about, okay, you perhaps even, you want to put your best foot forward and show them what you're capable of. And then you send along your designs. And then the customer or the prospective customer says, thanks very much for your designs, but we've decided to go a different direction.
Right.
But 3 months later, you then see your designs implemented on their website because your pitch was already your IP. And the same thing happens when you're talking about copywriters. You know, when you're sending in your sample copy, the chances are you are already not just showing an example, but you're already handing over your IP. And you can talk to architects who suffer the same issue. You know, they show their plans. This is what I proposed for your home extension. The client says, no thanks, and then gets his kaki to do it much cheaper. And so while the 10-year plan is obviously important for us as a nation, for the average business, the threat of having their ideas pinched exists on a daily basis.
So as you brought up, many of the SMEs and startups, Mark, don't know what constitutes an intellectual property within the operation. How does one go about looking at your own company and doing an IP audit? What can they look for within the company?
Well, almost by definition, IP is intangible. That is, it doesn't sit in a shelf somewhere. And clearly, this has been a problem to protect. You can't actually protect ideas, per se. All you can protect is the written expression of the idea. Mm-hmm. So that is then protected by copyright. Or, you can go all the way and have a patent. Although, while patents are relatively straightforward to get through IPOS in Singapore, an internationally valid patent takes many, many months. And So the first thing that you have to be clear of is, seeing that your IP doesn't sit on a shelf in your company, where does it reside? And often you will find that it resides in the plans that you send to prospective customers. And there you could say, well, but, you know, my IP is protected by copyright because I've sent them a pitch document or something like that. And that's certainly true. That's about as good as you're going to get. Patenting an idea, as I said, is not really practical when you're sending a pitch to a prospective customer.
Mm. It's also important to, you know, as you're listening to this conversation, it's also important to note that you can't actually compare copyright with intellectual property. Copyright is actually a form of intellectual property, the IP being the expression of the idea. And just as a legal clarification, the copyright being more the artistic aspects of this idea. On the line with us this morning is Mark Loudy, managing partner at Pitchmark. So then, from the perspectives of SMEs, agencies, and independent creatives, is it common to find ideas being copied or used unlawfully? Back in law school, we were told there is a percentage and there is that whole idea of when you look at this item, if it doesn't immediately, say a pencil, if this pencil doesn't immediately remind you of this other famous pencil, then it's okay. But if it does, then you have infringed something. What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, this is exactly the problem. That it is just so, because we're dealing with intangibles, it isn't so easy as to say, oh, you stole my idea, hook, line, and sinker. Mm. Whatever you've done there on your website, this is exactly what I said. And this is precisely the aim of PitchMark, to clarify this in conversation with your prospective client. You see, normally when you send a pitch along, and as I said, that could be an architectural design idea or a website redesign idea, or, as I said, perhaps some advertising copy, who knows, whatever it happens to be. The person who you're sending that to, if you don't have that conversation with them about who actually owns the IP rights, then the recipient of that idea can be well forgiven for thinking, well, you know, Tim has sent me this idea, or Elliot has sent me this pitch. Well, and all of that looks very interesting. I'm just going to take a small part of that. Yeah. But And then, of course, we could get into a debate. How much is a small part? How much is a large part? You sound like you have some experience with this.
Well, we hear this all the time, don't we?
Well, exactly. Everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah.
You know, talk to anybody in the creative industries, and they all have a story of, oh, you know, I got this RFP. They asked me to submit a proposal. I submitted a proposal. I didn't get the job, and yet they're still doing it.
Mm. Yep. Oh, so for large multinationals, though, Mark, why is there a need for them to respect and protect IPs? Is this one of key factors today?
Thank you. That's an excellent question. Because, you see, for the last couple of minutes, I've been talking about the importance of the sender of the idea, you know, the innovator who's come up with that web design. But to be frank, being on the receiving end is also not easy. Let's say, for example, you work in a multinational, and, well, let's say you're a marketing manager, and you constantly receive pitches from creative agencies that want you to use their banner designs, or you receive pitches from web designers, or whatever it happens to be. How do you keep track of who's actually submitted what to you?
Mm-hmm.
What if the pitch that you're getting actually looks remarkably similar to something that you're already working on? Or perhaps you get the pitch from agency A and it resembles the pitch from agency B. So being on the client side is actually also not that easy. And so that's precisely why PitchMark is looking to create that space, build that community between both the innovators and the client side, so that at least this conversation can be had, so that at least you're not sweeping it under the carpet and hoping that the client will buy your product or buy your design, but that you actually have an open conversation and you know, a very sensible, civilized conversation about who owns the IP that you're pitching.
I like that you mentioned that, Mark. How does that conversation go? You guys are like mediators in that sense. Do you have all the research? Do you, you know, take care of all the research on hand while both parties present their own facts of the case in that sense?
No, our aim is really to deter any sort of problem from arising in the first place. And so because largely this is a communications problem, mm-hmm. it requires a communication solution. Let's say, for example, you know, you asked, how does it usually happen? Well, usually there's no conversation at all. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of, you send along your PDF document, mm-hmm. You know, with your pitch, mm-hmm. And then you keep your fingers crossed and hopefully that the client, the prospective client, will come back to you and say, hey, Elliot, thanks for the pitch. That's a really good idea. Can you come in? And then we'll talk about how we can formalize our arrangement. Okay. But what happens if you don't get that call? You know, then the question is, well, what's happened to my idea? Mm. And as I said, 6 months later, no conversation has taken place. And then all of a sudden, you find your idea up on a billboard somewhere or in the paper somewhere, in a magazine somewhere. Better to have a conversation in advance. And that's why PitchMark brings innovators and clients together.
I like that. Communications solution. That's definitely a way to look at it.
So can we IP our voices, you think, Elliot? The way we speak in the morning, Mark.
I'm thinking we can copyright it, not IP. But I mean, Mark, if you're the expert.
If we have, automated bots doing this in the future, right?
Yeah,
you're right. This is... You know, when I think of the future and you think of digital currencies, you think of ICOs, you think of NFTs, right? These new non-fungible tokens. This is all the direction that all of this is heading in. But for most of you listening, you know, if you're an SME, a lot of this is nice to talk about, but your day-to-day problem is here and now. Mm-hmm. I'm sending out quotations, I'm sending out pitches, I'm sending out draft designs in the hope that I score some business. And, converting, you know, somehow patenting that or turning that into an ICO is just not practical.
Okay. Mark, some closing thoughts, though, and this is for the SMEs or for companies out there. With regard to getting an IP and getting it pushed through, is there a misconception that perhaps it's just too expensive?
Of course. You know, as soon as you think about, I have to make a patent submission and then I have to hire a lawyer to do all of that. Well, clearly the lawyers add a lot of value. There's no question. And PitchMark actually brings the lawyers into the picture as well, so that when you send your pitch, you already have been allocated a lawyer who can step in and help you in case the client does do the worst with your idea. But, you know, PitchMark is free. The whole point is to make this part of the routine of PitchMarking your idea before you send it to the client.
Oh, so in other words, just go to PitchMark. They'll settle everything.
Yeah.
Mark Loudy, Managing Partner of PitchMark, on the line with us. I really appreciate your thoughts this morning, Mark. Take care and stay safe.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.